The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Live streaming provided by Alpha Geek Radio and Alpha Geek Video. Visit tunein.alphageekradio.com to learn more.
Finally, Friday is brought to you by Major Spoilers VIPs from around the world. Thank you, Major Spoilers VIPs, for making this show possible. If you'd like to become a Major Spoilers VIP, point your browser to members.majorspoilers.com. Well, hello, everyone. It's me, Steven Schleicher. We are back once again. We've made it to the end of the week, and it's finally Friday. Last week, we didn't have a show, so a little bit about what's going on. For those of you that were around during the botched Scott Johnson interview a couple of weeks ago, something locked up with the system. It wasn't allowing sound to be routed around the way it should have been routed around, and so audio was coming in through some various means and ways that were not conducive for having a normal conversation. And then on top of that, we had a tornado warning about 40 minutes into the show, so I had to cut the show short a couple of weeks ago for that. But then last week, I was still having some technical problems. I think I've got it figured out now, and it's got it all nailed down, so we're back with Finally Friday this week. The chat room is active over on the YouTube channel, so if you are over there, feel free to pop in and share your thoughts and shout out and say hello to everyone. I will try to monitor that throughout the stream today. And then we'll bring in Ashley Victoria Robinson here in just a moment and talk about things that are going on. But just I wanted to show you guys real quick. I don't know if this is going to show up on my on your video feed. Here is a little radar application that I use. Here are the storms coming. And fortunately, that little blue dot is where we're at today. The storms are all down Oklahoma way, so sorry for them. Looks like they've got some warnings and watches and whatnot going on. But this storm will more than likely miss us. Last night, somebody in the chat said, oh, I heard there were storms up your way last night. Yes, there were. Those all blew to the northeast of us up around Beloit. So if you want to know where Beloit is, that's the home of where Matthew grew up. There you can see Osborne, Beloit right there in relation to where we are way over here by Russell. So it's usually Russell, Beloit, Salina. They're the ones that always get the bad storms, but we're pretty safe right here. So let's go ahead and bring Ashley onto the show. Ashley, are you there? Mm-hmm. Hello. There she is. Yes. Hello.
Hello.
There you are. Hi.
Yay,
how are you?
I cannot double click and everything will be all right.
It's Ashley Victoria Robinson. You know her from such famous YouTube video channels as the Red Shirt Diaries. And of course, you know her from the Geek History Lesson right here on the Major Spoilers Podcast Network. Ashley, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, thank you. So let's get this out of the way real quick. So a lot of people may have noticed that Ashley has not been writing on the site as often as she used to, and that's because she's got a really cool new job. Ashley, share all the information for us.
I'm an editorial assistant at CBR now.
Yay! It's always good to see people go and do some awesome things. So you're liking that job a lot?
Yeah, it's a lot of putting up previews right now.
Yeah. I do that on my Tuesdays a lot.
Probationary period, so we'll see how it goes.
Ooh, probation.
I know.
Well, I'm glad that that's going well for you. And it has been a couple of weeks. So how was the free comic book day for you?
I worked. So it was very hectic.
Were you working at the comic shop?
I was.
Okay.
I worked 9 hours straight and I ate a sandwich for 10 minutes off the floor. The rest of it was mostly wrangling people.
Yeah.
And we had a lot of people come in who were like, do you have this specific issue of Ghost Rider? And it was like, please not today.
Yeah.
Any day except today.
So there were a lot of people at the store, right? I mean, that's always a good sign.
Yeah. And there were a ton of kids. It was amazing how many kids there were.
Excellent. I'm so glad that Free Comic Book Day was great for everyone. I didn't get a chance to really go to Free Comic Book Day this year. I mean, we kind of went way, way, way late in the afternoon. We already had all of the comics that Diamond had sent our way, and we were looking through them. And Mason, my oldest son, had gone through a couple of the kids' age comics. But we went to our local comic book store, which is Hastings. And we walked around for a little bit. And then I bumped into Rob, and he and I wandered around the store for about 45 minutes. And we found probably the best thing that we could find on Free Comic Book Day was the DC Comics Dice Masters game that had just come out. So we got actually both of us got the box set that came out. So I'll be talking about that more in the future. But most of Free Comic Book Day was spent out in a windy field as boys played soccer. So
did they win?
Let's see. That week, Mason had a doubleheader, so they lost. They tied the first game, but Mason came in and put in two goals in the second game and won that game for them. So he did really good on that. So I was pretty happy about it. Yeah. So what else has been going on with you besides working at CBR, dealing with the craziness that's Free Comic Book Day? Yeah. Certainly, there's some other big major thing that has occurred in the last couple of days for you.
There's rain in Los Angeles.
What? Rain in Los Angeles?
We shot all of Red Shirt season 2, except one episode, in about 48 hours.
Wow.
Total. So we did that.
And listeners who've been over to theredshirtdiaries.com can find out more about that. And hopefully, if you're a member of the Patreon, you've got some exclusive behind the scenes access to things that are going on, including some of the people that you have coming in this season.
Yeah, we have a lot of exciting guest stars this season. And if people have access to our behind the scenes blog, then they can find some of those pictures. Some of them have been announced. Some of them we're probably going to wait until the episode airs.
Mm-hmm.
And we're trying to do a really good job at hiding the set. But I don't quite know how effective that was, because we built a new set with our Indiegogo money. So that was really cool. It allowed us to stand. We can stand this season.
Excellent.
It wasn't really an option last season.
Yeah. And that's because the ceiling of your apartment was too low to get a full flat in without shooting off the top.
Yeah, totally. And it was also because we our first season set was made of cardboard. So it was much smaller than the one that we have, which is made of Luon now.
Ah, excellent. Excellent.
Yeah, we have three flats. We're like a real production.
So I'm curious, what have you learned, you personally? Because I know Jason has a big production background. But what have you learned personally going from shooting season 1 to now completing principal photography on season 2?
That I'm like way out of my depth.
You think? I bet you know more than you think you know.
Well, like our first, we set up on Friday nights in our shooting location so that we'd be ready to shoot. We'd have all the lights up. We'd have everything kind of dressed for Saturday and Sunday. And our first Friday, we really struggled with getting a light, the shape of a light to match season 1.
Mm-hmm.
So we had this triangle light on the wall.
Right.
And it was myself and Jason Inman and Alex Swickard, who was our camera guy. And they couldn't figure it out. And then Jason was like, I need some ideas. I need us to work together on this. And I was like, I couldn't offer anything to that. And I felt super bad. So I was like, I'm just going to be over here, like, setting out props. I learned that light bulbs can explode
if
you touch them with your bare hands.
Yes. Oh, I've had that happen more than once. In fact, I think I've shared this story before. Maybe you've heard it on one of the other shows. But when I was going to school, my professor was working at a television station in Illinois, and he showed me this clip from when he was a student. And as he's giving the news, this bulb bursts behind him. This was live television news. And you see this flaming fireball fall through the shot and down on the floor behind him. Luckily, it didn't hit him, because we're talking about molten glass here. You see him just do a little flinch when he hears the pop, but he just kept on going and reading the rest of the news and getting through the newscast. And then afterwards, they went and looked on the floor to see where this thing had fallen. And it was so hot, it had fused to the concrete floor.
Well, and he's so, more of a superstar than I was, because we were just rehearsing and it went off and I like screamed and ran away.
Oh, so. Yeah. It's dangerous. Now, certainly there's ways to, put some scrims or something in the front to kind of protect that. But they can be dangerous. And that's why that's why a lot of productions have moved to like what we use, LEDs or fluorescent lights. But I did have a fluorescent light blow up on me not too long ago, and that caused quite a mess. So. But that's good. So you learned about not touching the incandescent bulbs.
Yeah, I did. Even though it wasn't my job, I was like, cool, I'm never going to touch one of those bulbs ever again. I also learned how important it is when you're the person or, you know, part of the team that's there all the time and you're bringing a lot of guests in, because we have guest stars, yeah. I think, in every episode this season. How important it is that we, you know, take on like a leadership role and like we know what we're doing so that it allows us to work with the new people and put everyone else at ease.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what helped us. Like we shot, like I said, 18 episodes in less than 48 hours. So,
wow.
Yeah.
But again, too, I mean, that is quite an achievement to just bang, 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 knock those out.
Well, but a couple of long.
Yeah, I mean, that's a couple of things that help you out thing. Is they are 3 minutes long and you're essentially in one location, one shot, right? Or did, yeah, or totally. Is this year, are you using multiple camera or multiple angles?
One camera. The camera moves a little bit, but mm-hmm. when we didn't do coverage or anything. And again, stuff like that really facilitated our ability to be able to shoot speedily.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Cause you know, if you get, we broke up our episodes into scenes more or less. So if we can get to this point, then we can move on. We don't have to worry about coverage or anything like that, which is really nice.
Yep. And Jason, if you follow Jason, I don't know if you put this up on your Facebook page or not, but if you follow Jason or Ashley, they put up a new Red Shirt Diaries teaser poster.
Yes.
That show off some familiar faces.
Yeah. So those are some of our guest stars, one of whom I think wasn't announced yet. But there you go. Jason was signing at the store I work at on Free Comic Book Day, so he made that up so we could give them out to people, which was really
excellent.
Cool.
Excellent, excellent. So it looks like from this, you've got Hal Rudnick. Where do I know him from?
Screen Junkies.
Oh, okay. All right.
Or Reno 911. Like, he's on TV a lot.
Okay. And then also Dick Fundy.
Yeah, Nick Fundy. He's a nice guy.
And where do I know him from? Is he also on Screen Junkies?
He's another Screen Junkies guy. He's on Conan a lot.
Ah, okay.
And he just did, I think it was a Nerdist video where he played George R.R. Martin.
Yes, that must be where it is. Because I've seen his face around a lot, and I've seen his name around a lot, but it's always like, where do I know him? He's one of those, oh, it's that guy kind of people.
Totally, yeah.
And then, of course, there's your pretty face right there.
Yeah, and not so pretty expression.
And then there's
I
Jason.
Didn't pick that picture.
And then is the last person announced? I mean, she's there in the poster and on the.
I mean, I guess she's
announced
now. She tweeted out a bunch of pictures from set and stuff. That's Tiffany Smith, who's Jason's co-host on DC All Access.
Yeah, and that's really cool that you were able to get her in. She's also on the Fandango stuff a lot, and so
she is so nice.
And she's so busy. I bet a lot of the times too.
Yeah, we had her in and out pretty quick. She was a superstar.
So what is Ashley's tips for making sure your set runs smoothly and you're getting people in and out?
Let Jason be in charge.
You think?
Yes. Stay out of the way and learn your lines.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because if that's all your responsibility, it's pretty good. Like, you know, because you really quickly appreciate how much work everyone else is doing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And the nice thing about having a really good crew is they kind of know what to do. So if the director says, hey, this needs to be done, boom, they're off and doing it. Or from a producer standpoint, if you're keeping track of the time and you know how many pages you have to get through and how long, that helps out tremendously as well. I remember shooting, you know, huge segments, 5-minute segments, and getting those knocked out in 3 or 4 hours just because we had fantastic producers back in the day who were doing
and,
it.
So. And having that timeline is really important because, mm-hmm. you know, if one thing gets backed up, then if you have the ability to shift stuff around and prioritize, that can be really helpful too.
Yeah, yeah. The phone lines are open. Someone asked if I turned off auto answer this week. Yes, auto answer is off, so we shouldn't have those mistakes either. So pick up your phone, 785-727-1939, and give us a call. You can ask Ashley any questions. We can talk about anything you want to talk about. Perhaps you have questions about some of the events that happened this week as far as announcements. If you want to talk about Avengers, which we didn't get to talk about last week, that's fine. If you want to talk about anything that's on your mind, just give us a call, 785-727-1939, or if you are on Skype, Steven_Schleicher is the number that you want to call. I was going to ask you, there's a couple of things that kind of popped up in the last couple of days that I know you are excited about. Yes. Agent Carter is getting a second season.
Oh my God, I'm so excited. I love Agent Carter. And I was really worried that they weren't going to renew it, that it was just going to be a kind of a one-off.
Yeah,
and it's
one-off,
great,
yeah.
But it's going to be cool to see more stuff.
Yep. Fabian is joining us on the phone. Fabian, how are you this Friday?
I'm great. How are you?
I am doing much better than I was last week and much better than the week before. So
That's good to hear. I just read some Twitter messages that were kind of cryptically annoyed and angry. I don't know.
In regards to what?
I don't know. I don't actually know.
Did they come from me or did they come from Ashley?
Your Twitter stuff, I meant.
Oh, okay. Oh, who knows what I'm talking about half the time. Oh, I know one of them is, you know, one of them is one of them that got quite a few people talking was the one about, you know, 7 TV episodes and an independent movie. And then you're told to run the tentpole film and you wonder why there are problems. That was in reference to Josh Trank, because you're stressed out enough, Ashley, right, from just working Red Shirt Diaries.
Yeah.
Imagine if Paramount came to you and said, Ashley, you're in charge of the next Star Trek film. Don't screw it up.
I'd probably just weep. I'd fall around and cry.
And I honestly think that's kind of what happened with some of the problems that Trank was having on the Fantastic Four, which the person that he was working with, who I believe is the producer and the writer of the new Star Wars spinoff movie, the Boba Fett one, just went to Disney and Lucasfilm and said, oh, you know, alert, alert, alert. And then that's why everybody agreed mutually to step away from that. Do you have any other insight on that, Ashley?
I just know that Fantastic Four has gotten a lot of heat for a movie that hasn't already come out.
Yeah.
I mean, I empathize with him a lot, because when you create something, even if you know it's not your best work, you don't want everyone telling you that it's terrible.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel bad for the guy. You know?
I'm actually really looking forward to Fantastic Four. I think if they're following along the ultimate line, like it looks like they're doing, it could be a lot of fun, and it could actually attract a lot of new fans into the Fantastic Four franchise.
I hope it's awesome. I really, really do.
Fabian, what else is on your mind?
I have actually no interest in watching the Fantastic Four. You've been talking about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Agent Carter just now as I joined.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really love it that it was picked up. I'm not all the way caught up with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I have one episode to go.
Oh, good.
And the weird thing is German television didn't actually pick it up for a year or year and a half. Usually it's pretty quick, Flash is... I think just half a season behind dubbing and translating and airing on TV. But Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., I think, really started really late. So I don't watch it on TV anyway, so I don't care. They're just as Flash, and I always enjoy the flashback, as I've told you before.
Yes.
But... I actually wanted to give my proverbial 2 cents about the Avengers movie.
Sure, go ahead.
Last week, unfortunately, the show got canceled. So
yeah.
It's not that fresh anymore, and
all the more reason not to put big spoiler warnings and not talk about spoilers or anything like that.
That's right.
We're going to assume most of our listeners have seen the movie already.
That's one point. I thought they made a pretty great effort to make it easy to keep it cryptic. You could talk about Veronica when you wanted to talk about the Hulkbuster armor,
yep,
and stuff like that. It was quite easy. There were just some points. I really dug your... Zach on Film stuff that you
the summer movie
right
special
after you summer movie step
yeah you guys made a lot of really smart points on that, I thought.
Yeah,
oh, thank you.
Really smart stuff. And that's what I tweeted to you. You actually got me pulled away from the positive poll of stuff. I was so excited after the movie that I thought it was great, the best, amazing, and then some of the points got me thinking.
And then I came in and ruined it for you.
No, it's not that bad. Somebody ruined the first Hobbit for me. I was just contempt and happy to be back in Middle Earth, and somebody said, oh, it wasn't that great, and some other stuff, and I got put down, brought down to earth. I don't know.
Was it me? Because I said a lot of mean things about that movie.
No, no. Actually, somebody from real life.
Okay, good. I felt bad.
Well, you know, on the plus side, Age of Ultron is still doing really, really well in the box office. It's already made over $500 million worldwide. It's made over $188 million. Well, I'm sorry, $235 million domestically. And so it's already at almost $700 million right now. So maybe after this weekend, we'll push it over into to another $200 million. Maybe.
We can only hope.
I hope for the 3-hour director's cut. That would be amazing, I guess.
That is the one thing that is the one thing that really bothered me the most about watching the movie. And as I talked about it on the Zach on Film Summer Movie Special episode, and I would encourage you listeners and viewers out there, if you haven't listened to that, go watch the movie first, then go and listen where we break it down. But I really thought that movie was disjointed in a lot of the storytelling parts. And I was like, surely there's got to be about 30 minutes of footage that got taken out. Yeah. And then it was only a few days later that Joss Whedon was like, no, there's like an hour's worth of footage they made us take out of the film.
Man, and he's I was just like, burning well, that makes all the sense. Bridges at Marvel.
Yeah, boy, I don't. He was. He had a lot to say in the last couple of weeks.
So maybe no director's cut then.
Let's see. Let's add an extra hour's worth of footage. Let's release it like they did with the Lord of the Rings, and let's make a crap ton of money. I think we'll see that full director's cut.
We haven't
within
seen the Rogue
the next
cut yet, though, and that's been teased for a long time.
Now, the Rogue cut for X-Men Days of Future Past is actually coming out in July. I think it's July. I want to say.
I know, finally.
Yeah,
it was supposed to be out in December originally, I thought.
Yeah, and last year when they announced the Rogue cut was coming, I thought that they were going to put it back into theaters, but instead this is going directly to DVD and to digital distribution. So if you're interested in seeing what they're going to bring to the screen, big or small, depending on your television set or computer screen, I believe that comes out, I want to say July 17th for some reason. So I don't know.
So I don't want to be rude or something, but just two things I wanted to add to the Avengers discussion.
Okay, sure.
One thing, Black Widow, so Scarlett Johansson was pregnant while filming, I think.
You can tell. Mm-hmm. You can tell in some of the shots
you
that the cat suit's a little
tell.
Looser.
I really
bet ladies
couldn't tell. Yeah, okay. I thought it was amazing that I knew that she was pregnant while shooting, and I couldn't actually see anywhere.
Toward the last couple of scenes, her suit is a lot baggier around her middle.
Yeah.
A
little more forgiving. I mean, she's still gorgeous and whatever, but you can tell if you're looking for it.
Yeah. And of course, there's also the magic of digital effects. Just go in and paint that out.
Right.
I thought I saw her wearing a blue belly thing or something. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. And the other thing, there was one scene that really annoyed me, really bothered me. And it's when the VW Golf convertible is flying over the edge, and the lady is saved by Thor, who throws her, grabbing her at her one arm and throwing her, I don't know, 100 meters, 150 meters into the air. I thought in a universe, or at least a source, where Peter Parker snaps his girlfriend's neck, Thor can't just throw somebody that far.
Well, for right now, different universes, remember?
Yeah.
Technically,
So one is a Marvel universe, the other is a Spider-Man universe.
That really bothered me. I know all of it is suspending your disbelief and yada yada, but that kind of bugged me.
I understand. There's a lot of things that kind of bug me about that movie, but I still enjoyed it. I'm hoping that you still enjoyed it, too.
I did enjoyed immensely. I was gripped in my seat. I was laughing aloud, and I think I swayed back and forth or something. I don't know. But it was really great, and there was one thing. I forgot it.
All right. Well, Fabian, anyway, thank you so much for calling in this week, and
thank you.
I want you to have a fantastic weekend, okay?
You as well. Thanks.
All right. Take care. Bye.
Bye.
All right. We've got another caller already on the line. Hi, caller. Who's this?
Hey, Ashley and Steven. It's Nato. How are you guys doing?
Hi, Nate.
Hey,
thanks for calling in.
Going?
Good. Good. Actually, it was funny. I guess I didn't realize that the show was canceled last week because I was actually recouping from jet lag. So.
Oh, yeah, yeah. How was your trip? You made it all the way out to California, eh?
Well, yeah, it was just I took the red eye Thursday night back to Florida. So
okay.
They flew me from Denver to L.A., from L.A. to West Palm Beach. So.
Oh, wow. Weird.
Why did you have to go to California? Was that part of the job requirement? I knew you said you were going to Denver to do some job
work. It's just the flight. The flight flew me there.
Oh, wow.
To get home on the red eye.
Wow.
I took a flight from Denver to L.A., then L.A. to West Palm Beach. So
oh, my goodness.
Nine hubs, whatever.
Yeah, no, I have made nonstop flights from Atlanta to Los Angeles before, and that is a long flight, and if you've got a crowded flight, it's very uncomfortable. But
red eyes are the best because usually they're not crowded.
Oh yeah, and oftentimes there's not a lot of noise because people want to get some sleep.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, it was pretty quiet, but the only thing is I actually upgraded to an exit row, not realizing that the seats don't recline.
Yeah, yeah, that's the only bad thing.
Yeah.
My back was like dying. I'm like trying to. I was like, all right, I'm done. Never.
But you made it back in
the leg room.
You made it back in time for Free Comic Book Day.
I did.
And how was that for you?
It was great. Actually, our local comic book shop had a great turnout. They had a whole bunch of local artists there and comic book creators and distributors, and it was good. From what they're saying, is the best one they've had so far this year.
Nice.
Excellent.
So,
did you pick up, what was your favorite book that you picked up or that your kids picked up?
I don't know what the favorite one. I think the one my son liked was the Boom Studios one, the anthology one or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, because it had the Munchkin and stuff in it too, so he thought that was fun. Not sure about my daughter. She, any given day, she'll like whatever. But I was excited this year because I was able to get the Tick book. Last year,
I was
like second in line, and it was gone. I was like, you've got to be kidding me. I was like two down. I'm like, no, this book's gone. I'm like, no. So, but we also were able to see the Avengers, too. So that was...
What'd you think?
It's a good piece of the puzzle. I didn't hate it. Of course, I'm like in your camp there. The Captain America movies are just by far, I don't know if it's story writing or the genre or how they're done, but
yeah.
I think those are my favorite movies. With the original, first Avenger movie, like third or fourth, but it was good. Special effects, man. I don't know what they were doing. And unfortunately,
right?
It was 4:30 on a Saturday afternoon, and the place was packed. I mean, I was astonished.
Well, that's good.
So, yeah, it was great. And so we had to sit down, like, in the front row. So I'm sitting in the front row corner trying to, like, suck everything in. I have to go see it. I'm going to go see it again. But, like, that first sequence was very jarring. It's almost like they didn't spend enough time on the special effects, so they sped everything up to compensate for it, and it was really bad. I mean, not that I would do any better, but it was good. I enjoyed the story. Like you guys were saying too, it was very, I wouldn't say jarring, but it did feel like there was like pieces left out, and it kind of,
mm-hmm.
It was like boom, boom, boom. It was quick, but I enjoyed it. I'm going to go see it again. But, what I wanted to bring up too was, I don't know if someone's listening to you, Steven, or whatever, but Fandango, if you bought your tickets through Fandango,
uh-huh.
Marvel gave you a comic bundle for free. Initial comic bundle for free.
Interesting.
It's a really smart idea.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Oh, no, it's totally the best idea ever. Because, I mean, you're going to – and was it printed on your ticket or was it
No, they just sent the code to you in your email.
Oh, that's awesome. Thank you very much.
So they had like Avengers Origins, a Black Widow number one, Captain America, the new Hawkeye number one, a Hulk, Superior Iron Man, and I think a Thor one.
That's a lot of digital comics.
Nice.
Yeah. That is great. I'm glad that that they did that. And it makes sense. And from the digital perspective, it makes perfect sense. I've been saying for years that I wish that the comic book shops or the publishers or whoever would work with movie theaters to kind of work with this. And if Fandango figured out a way to do it, then way to go, Fandango.
Yeah, my wife's like, hey, if I do it through Fandango, I can get digital. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Do it. So, but other than that, actually, we're heading to Disney tomorrow. The wife and the daughter are up there on a class trip, and we're going to spend the night. We're going up tomorrow, and we're going to have a quick little weekend before school gets out. And
yeah.
I wanted to thank Ashley and your compadre, Jason, with the Geek History Lesson, because I had a crazy dream last night with Ultron belly dancing with his belly button talking to me.
Oh, gross. I'm so sorry.
Maybe a little bit too much information, Nate.
So that's what I woke up to this morning. So it's been a great day so far. No, it's great. And again, I love the stuff that you guys do on Geek History Lesson. And I think I'm supposed to be getting my mug or something from the Patreon thing soon too. So
yeah, they shipped a couple days ago. So look for that.
Excellent. Excellent.
All right,
anything else, Nate? Anything else?
No, that's pretty much it. Just normal Friday night, getting ready to go pay someone to beat me up. So
there you go. That's the way to do it. All right. Have a great weekend, man.
You too, guys. Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
Yeah, Nate is a great NATO, and he's a great VIP, and he's our number one spoilerite right now. So he does a lot of good things. Didn't he send you? Oh no, I'm thinking of Daryl the Trek Nerd. Sent you guys a phaser that he made.
He did, and we got it on the Friday before we started shooting. So it is, because it's a little more delicate. It is in the background of season two on my shelf. So anytime there's a phaser on my shelf, it's the one that Daryl made.
Excellent. And is it really well constructed? Is it?
It is. He said it was kind of his composite of like busted up parts, but it's really nice.
Okay. I'm going to answer this phone call. Let's see if this puts you on pause or what goes on, because I don't know if I can. Oh, yeah. It put Ashley on hold. So hold on just a second. Let me see if I can add Ashley back in. Hold on, caller. Hold on. See if I can add Ashley. Caller, who is this?
Hi, Steven. This is Pontus from Sweden.
Hey, what's going on?
Nothing much. Just getting back from a long work week.
Okay.
Having a nice, quiet evening at home, listening to you guys.
All right. So what's on your mind this week?
Oh, I actually had two things I wanted to talk about, and I thought, I'm not sure what you actually have seen of the Wachowski siblings' new Netflix series. There was a trailer released for it.
Is this the Sense8 or wait? Yeah. I've seen the trailer for it. It looks pretty freaky. It looks pretty interesting. Yeah. Ashley's on hold at the minute, so she won't be able to answer just yet, but we'll get her to weigh in as soon as we're done.
Yeah. I was pleasantly surprised when I saw that trailer today. It seems like a weird concept that can go really wrong if they don't get it correctly.
Yeah.
But it also seems like it could go to some really interesting places and weird action sequences and shuffling characters and actors around. And it's looking really cool, I think.
Yeah, essentially what it is these eight people share something that connects them together. And so they feel what the other person feels. They can call upon the other person's powers and abilities to do things. There looks to be a lot of fighting sequence stuff. So, it looks pretty crazy and over the top.
Yeah, I'm a bit hesitant about it because I think you and Zach talked about it when you had your Jupiter Ascending.
That one was not so great.
Yeah, there really up and down, mm-hmm. I believe. The Matrix isn't fantastic. The Matrix sequels, not so much.
Mm-hmm.
I really liked Cloud Atlas. It was fantastic.
Cloud Atlas was really good, but really, I think, underrated by the reviewers.
Yeah, I think so too. I really enjoyed that one.
Yep. What's your other thought?
I also wanted to speak to you guys about the how you're feeling about the new Suicide Squad movie.
I really like the image. I thought everything looked good there. I'm excited about it. So I'm one of these people that I'll go ahead and wait and see, you know, what happens when it happens. But costumes were okay by me. I can't wait to see it.
I was really lukewarm on the whole thing initially, mm-hmm. Because I haven't really read much Suicide Squad and mm-hmm. villain type books like that. And all the announcements seemed a bit weird in the beginning. And they lost Tom Hardy as Rick Flag.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe it's Joel Kinnaman who replaced him. And mm-hmm. nothing against him, but he's not Tom Hardy in my book.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was a bit hesitant. But after seeing these few teaser images of the Joker and the whole squad assembled and things like that, I'm really starting to actually look forward to that movie.
I think whenever I saw the full cast, you know, the full Suicide Squad, Task Force X assembled in costume, that really started to get me a little bit more interested in the movie than what I had heard and seen before.
Yeah, so. I think that's what's getting me pumped as well. Of course, there's still room for them to screw it up, I suppose, but I'm at least interested now.
Yeah, excellent.
More than this is a whole nother topic, but the Batman's v Superman trailer
didn't do it for you.
No favors for me.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. All right, man. Well, let me drop you off and get Ashley back in, and we'll get her to weigh in on some of these things too. Okay.
Yeah, thanks.
All right, thanks. Have a great week.
Yeah, bye.
Bye. Sorry about that, Ashley. Apparently, when someone is calling in from a phone number, it won't let me loop a Skype call and a phone number in together for some reason.
That's okay.
So, sorry about that. So, first of all, have you heard about the Wachowskis' latest Netflix series, Sense8?
I have not.
It's really trippy. We got the trailer over at the Major Spoilers website. I think Zach is kind of excited about it because I think he likes the Wachowskis. Certainly after Cloud Atlas, he became a bigger fan of theirs.
I love Cloud Atlas.
It was really good. Jupiter Ascending, not so much. It was very pretty to look at, but not from the storytelling side. Then the other thing he'd asked about is what were your thoughts on the Suicide Squad now that we've seen the full casting costume?
Well, I'm trying really hard not to judge things from promo pictures because you don't know. It informs nothing about the way the movie's actually going to shake out.
Right.
I did think that Killer Croc looked more like Ben Grimm than I was anticipating.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. Yeah, I was thinking he looked really kind of more
the actor who's playing him. So
yeah, I was thinking he looked a lot more crocodile-y in. Not in that picture, but in some other behind-the-scenes stuff, he looked more like Killer Croc that I remember from maybe a little bit beefier, but from the Batman animated series to an extent.
Totally.
Not the whole extended snout kind of thing.
Shot of them?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He doesn't.
Like, oh, you look like the Thing. How weird.
Yeah. I think for me, it's not trying to pass judgment, but does it increase my interest in it? And certainly after seeing that the group shot, I was like, oh, yeah, now I'm starting to get a little bit more excited about this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
More than Batman Superman?
Man, I don't know.
Because Batman v Superman has Batman in it.
It has Batman in it, but I'm kind of okay with seeing what else DC can do. I think that's why I really like The Flash so much, because it's something different that's not always Batman. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why I'm interested in seeing what they do with this new DC Legends of, what is it, Legends of Tomorrow is what the show's going to be called, the new spinoff series. Well, you know, DC had the Legends line for a long time where they kind of dove into each of the heroes and told a kind of a really in-depth story on those. So I'm wondering if that's part of it too, but then also the time travel aspect plays into it too. So, but I'm still interested in seeing that. So yeah, I'm really kind of interested in that. And then of course, Supergirl's got a whole series, a season pickup over at CBS, which I'm excited about.
It can't possibly be as crazy as the Supergirl movie. So there's only up from there.
Yeah. Well, we can only hope. And hopefully it really changes people's minds on a female led superhero show, and that we can get some people to finally say, hey, look, Agent Carter did fine. Supergirl will do fine. You know, if you get your butts in gear and get a Wonder Woman movie together, it'll do just fine and probably better than people think.
Or a Black Widow movie, because Marvel's about to enter phase three and, you know, female-led movies kind of do.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because looping that back around to Captain America, the Civil War movie that's about to start.
Yeah.
So basically, if you read the press release over at Major Spoilers, and several people have spilled out a couple of different stories on it, but essentially in Captain America Civil War, we're going to have, of course, Captain America. We're going to have Iron Man. We're going to have Scarlett Johansson as Black Widow will be back. Sebastian Stan as Bucky Barnes will be back.
He signed for like 9 pictures or something insane like that.
Yeah. Anthony Mackie will be back as Sam Wilson in the Falcon. Paul Bettany as the Vision will be back. Jeremy Renner will be back as Hawkeye. Don Cheadle will be back as War Machine. And Elizabeth Olsen will be back as the Scarlet Witch. So essentially the end of the Avengers 2 movie, all those guys are coming back.
The quote-unquote new Avengers.
This. Yeah. And then on top of that, and this is something else I know that you're excited about, we're going to have, where did I see it? Maybe I just lost it here. Where is it? Oh, so also coming in will be Ant-Man will be in this movie, as well as Black Panther.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, we're going to have, let's see, who else do they have in here? Sharon Carter is going to be in there.
I know, weird.
Brock Rumlow or Crossbones will be in there. William Hurt will be in there as General Thunderbolt Ross. And then Martin Freeman, which I saw you kind of excited about.
I'm so excited about Martin Freeman.
Why are you excited about Martin Freeman popping in?
I just really like him. Like, I love Sherlock and I love everything that he's been in. I love him in the Hobbit movies, even if that's all I love about the Hobbit movies.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who he's going to play. Probably an agent of some sort. But
do you think an agent? I've seen some speculation on that. And Jason, I thought, had a really good suggestion.
Speedball?
Because doesn't Speedball play kind of a big role in Civil War?
Yeah, he does. But yeah. I don't know, like, he's tough to imagine as a superhero. I mean, I'm sure he could do it. He's a great actor. But I think because they're kind of phasing, it seems like they're phasing Coulson out. I could see Martin Freeman stepping up to be like S.H.I.E.L.D. guy.
Yeah, I could see that too. I could see. I mean, he would do a good role.
Be in a scene opposite Benedict Cumberbatch.
Well, and I think that that's going to happen without people even, second guessing it. It wouldn't surprise me if he shows up in the Doctor Strange movie the movie. And I can't wait to see. Daredevil has been set up for a second season. We found out today that Rosario Dawson is going to be back in a much bigger role, and that she too has also been tagged to play in the movies. And I guess that's what's going on with all the Netflix series, is their contracts are saying that they also get to be in the movies if they're called up.
It's a good like training ground, because it's a very safe place to test out those cast members, you know?
Yeah. And you and I haven't talked since Daredevil aired or was released back in April.
Well, I've only seen 2 episodes.
Ashley, is it because you don't like it or because you're so busy being as awesome as you are?
Mostly because I'm busy. I actually really like it. But I was watching it with Jason, and then I went to bed early one day because we had to get up at 6:50 to shoot. And Jason was like, well, I'm just going to keep watching it. So I'm waiting for him to be like, okay, I'm going to watch it again, and then I'll finish it out with him.
It's really good. Although I was really surprised and shocked about some of the things that happened.
I know everything that's happened, so you can't spoil it for me.
Okay, well, but some other people may not have gotten all the way through. But the second to last episode with the confrontation with one person, with Wilson Fisk, is just surprised the heck out of me, because of all the characters, that was the one that I was hoping to see more of in the future.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. And that was, I was a little disappointed in. But otherwise, I thought it was good. I thought it was really good. And
I think the fights are amazing, because I'm so sick of movies where they shake the camera and you can't see this outstanding choreography. And Daredevil's stunt double is amazing. It's well, so cool to watch that like tracking shot where I'm pretty sure there's at least three cuts, but
yeah, it's easy to hide the cuts. But of course, everyone said they rehearsed like 8 times and then on the 9th time they recorded it. So and just did it in the one take. But the one thing that's really cool about that being able to shoot as wide as they did is that it does show the choreography and it does show that these people, stunt players or whoever, really know their craft. And if you look at movies from China with the big wushu fight movies, those are often done super wide so you can see them do all of their action. But when you look at something like The Matrix or you look at Avengers where you're going in for these really close, shaky camera shots, lots of cuts, it's because they're not trained to be athletes like you see in the Chinese movies. So that was very refreshing. What was that, the second episode or the third episode?
The second
episode is just so refreshing to see that. And I really got a kick out of it. And at first when it started, I was like, oh, I get it. They're just going to do everything off panel, off screen, behind the doors. And we're just going to see stuff fly out and throw out like Big Trouble in Little China in that final fight scene.
Yeah.
And I really expected that, but I was really pleasantly surprised. There was an interview, I don't know if you saw it, with the director of photography where he was talking about how they were switching out stunt doubles and everything as soon as a camera would pass. And then people would, like Charlie Cox would fly into one of the rooms, and at that point they'd switch him with a double, and the double would come back out, and it was just so seamless that you didn't really see it. It was good. I want to watch that again.
Well, it's only 13 hours of your life, so...
Yeah, well, yeah, and that's okay, I suppose. I've spent 13 hours doing worse things, I think.
Right.
So do we want to talk really quickly right here at the end about your other big announcement that you have coming up? When does this come out?
My comics one?
Yes.
Sure. I don't think I'm embargoed on that anymore.
Okay,
the first
good.
One was in previews, so.
Oh, okay, good. Excellent, excellent. So many of you know that, was it a year ago? Was it a year ago?
Yeah, it was last year.
So last year, Ashley won the contest with Top Cow to have, was it a Witchblade story or Tale of the Witchblade?
It was a 6-page backup in Witchblade, which Ron Mars was writing the principal story on. So that's much cooler than the fact that I got to write one.
Yeah, yeah. And the issue must have sold so well and people demanded more of you that you've got another comic book writing gig.
I think it's more because I like called Matt Hawkins once and was like, hey, I have all these ideas. You should let me write for you. And then he was like, I guess.
And this is more Top Cow stuff?
Yeah, this is. So
excellent.
A couple months ago, I got an email from Top Cow that said, hey, we're looking to do these series of one shots. Do you want to do that? And I was like, yeah, totally. I'm the last person to read this email today.
Yeah, yeah.
And they have an ongoing series written by Matt Hawkins called Aphrodite 9, drawn by Stepan Sajic.
Right.
And this summer, they are releasing every month a series of one shots about some of her brothers and sisters.
Mm-hmm.
So the first one is Athena 9, which is going to be written by Ryan Katie. And then I'm doing one. I wrote one called Apollo 9 because he's a scientist. And I was like, scientists are cool. And it comes out in August and it'll be in previews next month.
Excellent.
Yay.
Congratulations on that. So give us a rundown. So they did they have the idea for the character and the title, or were you able to kind of run with it, or how did that come
the
about?
The character has appeared in the most recent series. He's appeared twice. They sent us a document that had like a little paragraph on each of them, and then we had to pitch them stories. So I pitched a story and I got another document that had some information about the city that he kind of rules from and, you know, the rules of the universe, like the little Bible. And we got to look at some of the other issues in the series to pull from. But we had pretty free reign.
Oh, that's good.
With like any additions that we wanted to do and like character aspects, which was really cool.
Yeah.
So, and yeah, then, I did that.
Well, that's great. I mean, that's really great and exciting that that's happened. And so this one comes out in July then? Is that when it comes out?
In August, I believe.
Oh, okay. That's a little bit ways away. But, of course, that gets you over the summer hump of everybody buying all the event comics and everything. So now you have some time to go out and look for it. It's called Apollo 9.
Apollo 9, right? 9 in Roman numerals. So Apollo IX.
IX. Mm-hmm.
So go pre-order it starting next month.
All right. Well, and that's the main story. I mean, that's the whole thing, right?
It's 22
not just a backup or anything. And what was your process? How intense was it? How crazy was it?
I pitched it, and then I got an email back approving my pitch, and then they gave me a deadline, and I was like, "Wow, that's really fast." Okay. So then I panicked and I wrote a script. And then I panicked and I said, mostly my experience with comics writing has been panic.
Yeah.
Because I do it around my other jobs and other projects. And it's quite quick because when you're scripting a comic, there's a lot less time that goes into it than when you're on the art side of a comic. So
yeah,
it's really important for Top Cow and for me that I give the artist as much time as possible and I don't give them anything to draw that they don't want to draw. Mm-hmm. You know, like if someone draws cars, it hates drawing cars and I won't write cars into it.
Yeah.
You know, or stuff like that. So I would say like the actual writing process took me maybe 2 weeks.
Oh, that's good. That's really good.
But it mostly took place on the Friday before it was supposed to be handed in.
Yeah, that's how a lot of deadlines are, right? What was a quote I heard. Your greatest creativity comes at the end of a deadline or something along those lines.
You're like, I'm making this choice because I can't think about it anymore.
Oh, this is, but I'm really excited for you and happy for you because this is something I've been sitting on for a long time now, right? Didn't you tell me like in March or something that happened?
February, I think, as soon as I knew.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, we got to keep this quiet. I'm like, okay, I don't know if I can. And then you've been on the show so often before that. I was like, I just want to talk about it. So that's really, really cool. It's good. And so then is there some other stuff coming up down the pipe or not? Or do you know? Have you pitched some other ideas? Have they called you back and said, pre-orders on this are through the roof?
Yeah, I wish I could quit my job. well, Oni's having this big pitch fest right now.
So that's right. There's a contest.
I'm working on some stuff for that.
But is that not taking is that a direct submission or is that tied in with a convention that's coming up?
No, that is a direct submission. It's all online. They're asking for a lot, though, because I think they're looking for series submissions only. So it's like a cover letter, a one-page pitch, a three-page synopsis on top of that, and then 8 pages of script, and it's up till the end of June, so I'm hoping that I can get a couple different things into that. So
that'd be great.
Whenever the next Colonial Comics volume comes out, which is supposed to be early next year, I have an 11 page story in that as well.
See, look at you. You need to we need to be promoting you more as comic book author and writer more often.
I know, right? I just need to tell people I'm like, Image Comics writer, Ashley.
Oh yeah. It's like, oh man, I was just working for Top Cow the other day, you know, it comes out next week, you know, it's no big deal.
Yeah. So neighborhood is Mark Silvestri. It's totally cool.
Yeah. So do you get to, then at your comic book shop, are they going to put it up on the counter and big picture of your head above the picture written by our own Ashley Victoria Robinson, buy it now.
I have no idea. Like it's weird in LA because, especially because we're like in the Valley where all the studios are, like there's a lot of comic writers who frequent our shop.
Oh yeah.
You know, so it's like, it's not super exciting to know someone who writes a comic book.
That's
like,
true.
Jim Lee came in on Free Comic Book Day, so I'm not nearly that impressive. My boss did ask me what it was called, so I guess they're ordering some. I'm ordering a bunch of copies for me.
Excellent. And I will, and I guess pre-orders are going to be due next week. Next Friday, I think, is when pre-orders for the month will be in. So, listeners and viewers, make sure you go and look it out. It's Apollo 9.
Yeah.
And go check that out. And that'll be a lot of good. And then, we'll find out more. I was looking for the Oni article up on the major spoiler site because I know we ran it.
I know that's where I found it.
Oh, okay. Well, and it didn't pop out to me just at the front, but do go check it out. I like Oni Press a lot. You may know them from such comics as The Sixth Scott Gun. Pilgrim. And what else?
Scott Pilgrim. And
oh, Scott Pilgrim.
And
yep.
Ares and Aphrodite.
Yeah, that was a good series too.
Yeah.
So
I love Megan Levin's art, so I was all into that.
Yeah. So, all right. Anything else you want to talk about or plug before we get out of here this week?
Plug before we get out of here this week?
Yeah. What's coming up? What do you want people to go check out? There's still opportunities for people to donate to the Red Shirt Diaries, correct?
Oh, sure. They can do that at patreon.com/Jawin, J-A-W-I-I-N.
Yes.
That's where all the money goes, is to our projects. Geek History Lesson is our big thing right now. We're trying to hit a new subscriber, a download number. So go listen to that on the Major Spoilers podcast feed.
And I have it on good. I have it on good authority that there is a Tim Drake episode coming up.
There might be. I might be really excited about it.
I bet. So let me ask you then real quick. Did you read Batgirl number 2 this week?
I did. I finally
did.
And
what did you think of the ending of that?
Well, I hate Stephanie Brown.
Oh,
so
come on.
I wasn't super pleased about it. I think it was a cute story,
mm-hmm.
but it's not my headcanon. So
yeah,
I leave it at that.
Tim Drake is my boyfriend.
Yeah, basically. if I'm going to be real.
I was kind of disappointed. I mean, I'm happy with the resolution of what happened in the issue. Right. Mm-hmm. I'm happy that, you know, everybody's back together and Cassandra, I guess, is still alive, even though she got smashed around by a giant gorilla.
I guess that's better than making her an ambiguously evil assassin. I don't really know.
Yeah. The only thing that I don't like is there's nothing that ties it back into the main convergence event.
Yeah. They either needed to be totally separate one shots or totally mm-hmm. connected, and they're towing this weird line with them.
Yeah. And
that
so
makes some of the issues like, oh, this is kind of weird.
Yeah, it is. And so I don't know. But I enjoyed the resolution of the characters. And for people who are looking to have that one last tale, was this was this satisfactory enough to be your one last tale?
No, not for me personally.
Right. OK,
I
can see that
one was really good.
That one. I mean, it's good that it had that happily ever after kind of theme. But it's mm-hmm. like, okay, hug, get the picture of mom and dad and son. But now, Superman, you need to go kick somebody's ass.
Yeah, but now you're all going to die. So
yeah, well, see, that's the thing. So I don't know. I'm still very conflicted on Convergence at this point. And I think people who have listened to Dueling Reviews this week know that I kind of went off on a little bit of a jag.
We'll see how it ends. At least they kind of know what they're doing. Like, Secret Wars was better when it was called Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Yes, exactly.
And I stole that from Jason's tweet earlier today.
Well, speaking of Jason, so next week I believe we have rescheduled Chinbeard to come back on, Bill Duran to come back on. We're going to talk about cosplay and prop making, so you want to tune in for that. And of course, all your phone calls are welcome. And then the week after that, Jason Inman's going to be on the show, and we're going to talk about, you know, DC All Access, how awesome Ashley Victoria Robinson is.
Right.
And I'm sure we're going to also talk about the Red Shirt Diaries once more. So a good chance to get some
stories than I do.
Oh, your stories are awesome. So
he sees it on a bigger scope.
There you go. All right, Ashley, thank you so much for being a part of the show this week. I really appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule.
Thanks.
Congratulations on the writing gig. Congratulations on the Red Shirt Diaries. Congratulations on your job over at CBR. I miss you here. But I know you're doing better over there. So
good luck on that.
Yeah. And we're going to have you back. So don't worry. I'll be bugging you again. So, or you can just bug me whenever you want to pop on the show.
I'll text you.
All right, listeners. Thank you so much, Ashley. Thank you so much. And VIPs, thank you so much. In fact, let's get to those big credit lists of all 800 of you who are making this show possible. Really appreciate it. We couldn't do it without your support. And who knows, maybe you out there who are not a VIP, maybe you'll see your name on this list in the very near future. And until next Friday, take care, everyone, and have a wonderful weekend.